Today marks 2 months since the killing of Michael Brown, and there have been no arrests. Also, the aftermath of the People's Climate March and the environmental justice movement coming up next.
This is not just about the environment. It's about the community. It's about public health. It's about jobs. It's about justice.
It was labor that got this city
yes.
up and moving.
Yes. Yes.
And it'll be labor that continues to move this city. We are the community. Are we not the community?
Yeah.
For our people who have been at the front line, not being able to breathe, suffering from asthma, upper respiratory, pulmonary disease, cancer clusters because of environmental racism.
Climate change exacerbates every kind of social injustice that faith communities have fought against for thousands of years. And we will not stop marching and praying and acting until we have a strong climate treaty.
We got a movement, brothers and sisters, and we got to stay together.
So join us on the 21st to march and send that signal to the United Nations.
The people united will never be defeated. The people unidos.
And welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition for October 9th, 2014. Big shout out to my brothers, Eitan Thomas and Dave Zirin on The Collision for their big show this morning. Well, since May 1st on May Day when we launched the show on the ground, we've been bringing you and lifting up voices of activists and activism here in the nation's capital, from Gaza to Ferguson, to the voices of the unemployed and the underemployed, those working for labor rights and fair wages, working to get money out of politics and to let Congress and the Supreme Court know that corporations are not people. To fracking, to Cove Point, to climate change, to our coverage of the People's Climate March, we have brought new interviews, voices, and sounds from the streets onto the airwaves here at 89.3 WPFW Pacifica Radio. This is our first week of the fall fundraiser, and we are dedicating these 3 weeks to the planet, to our Mother Earth, and to those light bearers who have joined the ancestors in the past year. Our theme for the fundraiser is The Struggle Continues, and we know what that means on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment. Yes, the struggle definitely continues. If anybody thinks that we're going to stand by idly, like everything is cool, while we are being gunned down in broad daylight by the police with our hands up, or while more than 2,000 civilians in Gaza are murdered with our tax dollars, then they have another thought coming. No, we will not walk willingly into a police state. It's not going down like that. Nobody is marching willingly into that. As usual, we have a jam-packed show for you today, bringing everything together, exploring the links between social justice and environmental justice, and breaking down the silos that artificially separate the various issues being tackled by activists. We'll talk to organizers of this weekend's mobilization in Ferguson, and we have special thank you gifts for you today. The powerful movie Disruption that we just played a segment from and that we played for you in recent weeks and that we'll be playing throughout today's show, and copies of Gasland 2 signed by Academy Award nominated director Joss Fox. So call in to get those special gifts before they run out. You can call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. These gifts are available this hour only. These two movies for the just absolute deal of only $89.30. We're in a very serious time, and you can count on this show and this station to take you, our country, and the planet very seriously. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 if you're listening online. Right on WPFWFM.org. You can pledge right on that site. You just go to the pull-down menu for the Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, and that's on the ground. Okay, so here are our headlines for today. There'll be a national convergence in Ferguson, Missouri this weekend to continue to fight for justice for Mike Brown and to spark the broader movement for racial justice. There will be 3 days of actions. If you want to know more about this weekend's convergence, go to handsupunited.org. There'll be more on this weekend's mobilization with one of the organizers after headlines. This weekend's convergence in Ferguson is occurring as a federal judge just ruled that police there violated the Constitution when responding to earlier protests. The case concerned the police practice of forcing protesters to remain in constant motion, telling them that they were not allowed to stand still or that they were walking too slowly. Over the weekend, protesters calling for justice in the case of Michael Brown took their cause to the St. Louis Symphony, where they unfurled banners and performed a version of the protest song, Which Side Are You On?, which they dubbed a requiem for Mike Brown. And, of course, you just heard on the Collision that protesters were also outside a playoff game with the St. Louis Cardinals, and they were confronted by an angry mob, which we know doesn't represent the majority of St. Louis Cardinals fans, but those fans need to speak up and get on the side of justice. Here in D.C., the D.C. Ferguson Coalition marched from Foggy Bottom to Georgetown in their continued demand for justice in the case.
Justice for
Michael Brown!
Racist
cop! Shut him down!
Justice for
change our whole mentality, man. We got to change our whole mentality. They want you to believe that we are weak, but we are strong. We got, I mean, listen, we didn't even have to do it. The police shut down M Street just because we came, just because we showed up. That's the type of power we move in the District of Columbia. When D.C. Ferguson shows up, the streets shut down. When D.C. Ferguson shows up, when we show up,
those were the voices of those shutting down Georgetown on Saturday. A very busy night in Georgetown. The group has staged shut down protests in Chinatown and on 8th Street since Mike Brown's killing. And I think the voice you heard leading the rally was that of Eugene Puryear, activist and candidate for the D.C. City Council. Members of the Ohio Student Association have occupied the police station in the town of Beaver Creek to protest the fatal police shooting of John Crawford, a 22-year-old African-American. Crawford was killed inside a Walmart in August when a 911 caller falsely accused him of pointing a gun at customers. In fact, Crawford had picked up an unloaded BB air rifle, which was on sale at the store. A grand jury declined to indict the officer who fatally shot him. On Monday night, about 20 students slept in the lobby of the Beaver Creek Police Department. They are demanding the firing of the officer who shot Crawford and criminal charges against the 911 caller, Ronald Ritchie, whose account was contradicted by surveillance footage. A 79-year-old peace activist has been sentenced to 3 months in jail for protesting at a base in upstate New York where U.S. drones are piloted remotely. Jack Gilroy is among several activists to face trial in DeWitt Town Court for protesting at Hancock Air Base. This past Saturday was also the first global day of action against the use of drones for surveillance and killing. On the environmental and climate front, this Saturday is the third global frackdown, an international day of action initiated by Food and Water Watch to ban fracking, a risky technique that uses millions of gallons of water, sand, and chemicals to break open rock formations deep underground to release oil and gas. The oil and gas industry has spent millions of dollars on slick public relations campaigns and high-profile lobbying efforts to buy the ability to extract fossil fuels from our communities with as little government oversight as possible, all the while destroying our air, water, health, communities, and our climate. The first global frackdown in November of 2012 brought together 200 community activists in over 20 countries to challenge fracking. The second global frackdown on October 2013 was even bigger, with over 250 actions in 30 countries spanning six continents. And the movement continues to grow. There's events in their communities to challenge decision makers to oppose fracking or a ban on fracking, and investment in clean energy. Globalfrackdown.org. After a media moment, The Economist is apologizing for its apology to slave masters and the issue of glorifying the Confederacy. After we hear another excerpt from the movie Disruption, we'll be right back. And in the meantime, call in at 202-588-0893 or 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or pledge right online at WPFW.FM.org. We'll be right back.
The classic market failure is negative environmental externalities. That's just jargon for you're not paying the full costs of the fossil fuels that you burn.
The racket that the fossil fuel industry has run is to take costs of its product and export them to the public.
Think about, you know, the litany of impacts from sea level rise, ocean acidification, the collapse of ecosystems that we rely on for food, water availability. These things are really expensive. When you have huge wildfires, it costs a lot of money. All of those costs are being dumped onto us as a society and not being paid by people who are polluting.
These big, massive polluters get to dump megatons of carbon in the atmosphere for free. You can't pollute for free. If you litter, you get a fine.
That makes coal and oil and other fossil fuels more competitive against solar and wind and other sources than they deserve to be. Behind the environmental problems that carbon pollution causes and behind the economic problems is a political problem that a very small group of very powerful special interests have exerted very rough control over the political establishment.
We're up against the fossil fuel lobby that has complete access to the political class and the ability to bribe through legal means and blackmail through the use of attack ads and so on. Even people who oppose them have trouble opposing them too strongly because they're in some ways economically dependent on them.
Right now we have a monopoly control by big carbon polluters. They grant themselves subsidy after subsidy. Think about this. How much money does the Pentagon spend helping big private oil companies get their for-profit products from the Middle East here? About half the Pentagon's budget is just helping Chevron and Shell and Exxon get their for-profit product here. What if they had to pay for that service? How much would gas cost then? Plus, they also get all kind of tax breaks and other kind of loopholes.
They're in a system based on a grow-or-die ethic. But rather than respond to the climate crisis by scaling back, they're doubling down through fracking, through tar sands oil, through coal exports, mountaintop removal. They have become more brazen.
It's a rogue industry. It's an industry whose business plan is followed to the letter will wreck the planet. Once you know that, then you know that these are now illegitimate business plans. We have to figure out how to disassociate ourselves with them. That is beginning to happen all over the world.
That was a clip from the movie Disruption on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition here on 89.3 WPFW. I'm Esther Averam here working hard, volunteering and sacrificing to bring you the best show that I can every week. So please step up to the plate for this station, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 to pledge for the WPFW. You can also go online at WPFW.org to support real news, what's really happening in the world, things that are crucial to our well-being, to our survival, to, you know, our children and our children's children. We have a DVD of the movie that you just heard, Disruption, and along with a signed DVD by Oscar-nominated Josh Fox and the DVD of his movie Gasland 2 today. And both are available for a steal, $89.30, 89 to celebrate 89.3 during our fundraiser, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or WPFW.org. You can pledge online for Thursday's Community Watch and Comment. Continuing our culture and media moment, I want to continue to acknowledge what would have been Amiri Baraka's 80th birthday on Tuesday. And today, the birthday of Steve R. McQueen, director of the Academy Award-winning film 12 Years a Slave. On TV, I want you to know about America by the Numbers with Maria Hinojosa. It's a new PBS documentary series that focuses on the dramatic demographic shifts occurring in this country, the new American mainstream, the growing number of Asians, Latinos, African Americans, mixed race immigrants, women, youth, and LGBT communities, and how we are influencing elections, culture, commerce, and every facet of our contemporary life. And of course, Sandra Ratley, longtime activist, producer, communicator here in the DMV, is one of the executive producers, and you can check out those episodes on Mondays on WHUT. Check your local listings for America by the Numbers. And speaking of America's demographics, including its peculiar institutions, these things are actually in the news as well. Joining me to discuss this is Richard Prince, author of Journalism's The Column, the online source for information about issues of media and diversity. Good morning, Richard.
Morning.
So, The Economist magazine had to issue an apology for a book review it ran, kind of attacking a book about slavery. Can you tell us more?
Sure. There's a new book out by a historian at Cornell University named Edward Baptist, and his book is called The Half Has Never Been Told, Slavery and the Making of American Capitalism. This book goes much farther than previous books have and establishing that slavery really was the basis for the rise of the United States, and how this has been downplayed by historians over the years. Moreover, he goes farther by saying that the people who owned slaves were so intent on boosting this economy by slave labor that they would go to almost any cruelty to accomplish their objectives. This is what he says in his book, and this is what was attacked by the Economist reviewer, who said that the author had relied too much on the words of the slaves and not enough on the white historians, which was of course outrageous, and it prompted a big Twitter fury and a fury by others, forcing the Economist to issue an apology. Now, this has implications not just for historians, but for us today, because what he is saying is that the link between the free forced labor that the slaves supplied and the condition of African Americans today is not fully recognized and realized by the rest of us living today, and it's, the connection is not made. We're not connecting the dots.
Right.
And furthermore, if all throughout the South, including right here in the Virginia suburbs, there are statues and streets named after the people who perpetuated this system, and it sort of just sits there with nobody saying anything about it. I'm talking about the Jefferson Davis Highway, the statues of Robert E. Lee, and in the middle of Alexandria, the statue of the Confederate soldier with his back to the north. These are people who fought to uphold the system that he's talking about. And, you know, it's the Civil War has been over for 140 years, and these tributes to them are still up.
I think I saw the picture that goes with your column. Someone had put some graffiti on one of these Confederate statues, and it says, like, no hero, like in black graffiti.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was a picture of Monument Mile in Richmond that has several Confederate so they're like giant statues of all these Confederate generals, and they're a tourist attraction. And about a decade or so ago, there was a big controversy when they wanted to add Arthur Ashe to that. And they said, oh, that was upset the landscape there. But yeah, these people are, as I said, they're lionized, and even though the country has moved on, basically, a large part of the South has not moved on.
Right, and we keep seeing that happen. We keep seeing evidence of that every day, you know.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for that report, Richard. And here at the end of our culture and media moment, it's actually a good time to remind listeners that, you know, we are independent media, that we are in our fall fund drive, and that we are non-commercial radio. We don't have underwriting. We don't have association with a university. And we need to remind people why Lou Hill established Pacifica. And he established it to be a listener-sponsored radio entity that wasn't dependent on corporations and corporate giving. And, you know, I know that, you know, because you cover issues around media and diversity, Richard, you know how rare this space is for us to have this place to raise our voices, to have a voice. 50,000 watts, folks. 50,000 watts. And it's not cheap. None of us are paid. This goes to support our infrastructure, to pay our rent, to pay the signal, you know, massive electricity bills. So, you know, we need to, hear from you this morning. And so anyway, Richard, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we just can't underestimate the importance of having media like this. When I moved out of the area, one of the things I missed most was WPFW, because you just don't find this in other cities. Even in other cities with Pacifica stations, they don't have the African-American emphasis and the emphasis on people of color that WPFW has. And so for that reason alone, I think people should step up to the plate.
Okay, and I'm joined in the studio by Katia Stitt, our wonderful interim program director.
Oh,
thank you
kind.
For coming down.
Thank you. Yeah. Anytime. And, you know, Esther, I wanted to talk a little bit about the new programs, but I consider your program as one of the new ones as well.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever said that, only because I think that you really bring something else with the On the Ground edition. I love hearing my, you know, weekly update on the activist community here and across the country and even around the world, and the actualities that you bring. So, because you yourself are an activist, you bring that to the air. That is so important. It's one thing if people covering that, you know, that is their job and they cover it. It's another thing to really be part of a community and bring that out and then bring the voices back to us in such a professional manner and, kind of discern and dilute and, you know, just help us make sense of it all. And you do that. You know, you mentioned being a volunteer. I just want to, again, speak on yesterday. I'm sure you heard some of the day with Hands Up, the over-policing of Black America. They were volunteers putting that entire day together for
exactly.
8 hours.
Exactly.
Seema and Verna not only put it together in advance, which, you know, takes many hours of work to
do. Yes.
But we're here sitting and being in our studio, being in the midst, and always saying that, you know, this is a labor of love. And I know for you, it's a labor of love. It's a
Absolutely.
Labor for peace and justice. And WPFW is your beacon of light. The On the Ground edition of Community Comment is your beacon of light. And it's only $500. That is like three people going to the phone right now and picking up that Jazz and Justice pack. And you have done so much. You also are a poet. I don't know how many people know that. But no, really, but working with such luminaries as Fred Ho, you know, knowing Amiri Baraka, and again, being able to dissect and discern his work for us is so very important. And his work is part of that Jazz and Justice pack. But we know that the real gift is hearing these voices. I can't wait to hear about the update on Ferguson a little later in your show so that people can be moved to action. I'm already thinking about myself trying to figure out a way to go to Ferguson this weekend and be part of that convergence, because it's so important that we bear witness. And WPFW bears witness every single day, every Thursday at 11 a.m., we bear witness through Esther Ivarum's fantastic programming. So if you're listening, you're within the sound of my voice, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739 is the number to call, or you can go to wpfwfm.org. And I think you have someone to thank there, Esther.
Oh, wow. I want to thank TESPA.
Ah, TESPA. Thank you.
Yeah,
a stalwart activist.
Yes, yes. And he's going to pick up the African American Historical News Journal.
Yes.
Yes, that's wonderful. And in addition to that, and the Jazz and Justice Pack, we still have our movies. We have Gasland 2.
Absolutely.
And we have Disruption that we're playing throughout today's show. So go to the phones, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739, or online, wpfwfm.org. Okay, so, you know, because I know you value reporting and information you really can't find elsewhere on your radio dial, you know, which is like drowning in diversion, irrelevance, and misinformation, the powerful movie Disruption that we're playing for you today, you know, is something that we've played for you in recent weeks, and we also have that along with copies of Gasland 2 that I just mentioned, and those copies are signed by the Academy Award nominated Josh Fox. So call in to get those before they run out. I only have like 20 copies, right? And you can get both for a pledge of $89.30. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Okay. So, you can count on this show and this station to, be your regular, what? Beacon of light.
Beacon of light, right? And, you know, may I make just one point is that those thank you gifts, because I just like to, you know, I'm very honest and upfront. Those thank you gifts are in the building. So it's just a matter of getting them sent out to you. We have the thank you gifts in hand. Mm-hmm. And they're such, again, they're such important vehicles for conversation and discourse and for action. You know, get a group of your friends together, watch the film, and then figure out what you can do to make a difference on those issues.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be right back with an organizer, actually, for the mobilization this weekend in Ferguson. And thank you, Richard, for joining us and always giving us something enlightening that, you know, I really didn't know about. You know, I'm always glad to know about it, but then it's like, wow, you know. So we'll be right back. Thank you.
All right. It's only by accident that we even think of climate change as an environmental issue.
you could just as easily think of it as another example of what happens in an unequal society. The people who've contributed the least to climate change and who've benefited the least from the use of fossil fuel are the first people to feel the effects. People in the poorest parts of the world suffer enormously already and will suffer enormously more as the century wears on.
Climate disruption is a social justice issue. Who gets hit first and worst every time there's one of these weather disasters? It's low-income people, it's people of color, it's people who can't get out of harm's way, and people who can't bounce back easily because they don't have the money or the social standing or the political connections.
Our communities are disproportionately impacted. We're all seeing that it's the indigenous people, the people of color, the low-income people who have historically suffered the burden of so many other politically driven crises.
There are so many countries that have been systematically plundered over hundreds of years, and this is often described as an ecological debt, climate debt. The whole idea that there are disposable places was always a racist idea, the idea of sacrifice zones, just treating people in places like garbage.
The place where it's hardest for it to sink in is in the suburban United States. We're insulated against the natural world. That's what the suburbs really are, a way of making you not notice the natural world very much. And we're insulated in those places by wealth. At least we think we are.
You're listening to excerpts from the movie Disruption, which we are offering as a thank you to listeners on the ground during our fall fundraiser here on WPFW. We have that and the movie Gasland 2 by Josh Fox for $89.30 during this hour only. So please pledge during this hour only. In that segment we just heard, Naomi Klein talked about environmental racism, the existence of sacrifice zones where people are treated like garbage. And isn't that what the rage is over? You know, isn't that what the rage is about in Ferguson? You know, that by shooting Mike Brown down in the street and leaving his body uncovered in the street for more than 4 hours, that he and we are being treated like garbage. And that our entire community is being treated like a sacrifice zone. Organizers at Hands Up United say that this weekend's mobilization in Ferguson is centered around key values, including the fact that while racism can manifest itself personally, and this is from their statement online, while racism can manifest itself personally, all too often racism is also institutionalized and structural. They say the sooner we can see racism as structural, the sooner we can try to break the cycle. Second, our current economic system degrades people of color and low-income people. Justice must address the economic inequality built into the capitalist system. The organizers say that movements are based on local struggles. Sometimes, like in Ferguson, movements find a crack where we must all push together. They say we are fighting for justice for Mike Brown, for many others murdered by the police, and for people of color as a whole. So as I mentioned, on Saturday, there will be the first of 3 days of a mobilization in Ferguson. On the first day, there'll be a large mobilization march. On Sunday, there will be a faith meeting and trainings. And on Monday, continued demonstrations and civil disobedience. With me on the line is Matt Nelson, Organizing Director for Color of Change. Matt has trained and mentored hundreds of community leaders and organizers around the country and has started 4 successful small businesses that promote alternative economic structures. He'll be on the ground in Ferguson this weekend. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on the program.
Okay, and thank you for joining us. On this show, we keep talking about the Ferguson moment evolving into a movement. You know, as someone who's been working closely with Hands Up United, you know, through Color of Change, can you tell me if and how you see that happening, that the moment morphing into a movement?
Great. And I'm glad you led with some of the context. You know, we've been working closely with the Organization for Black Struggle, a grassroots organization that's been in the St. Louis area for the last 35 years, really making these issues known and activating people on them, but also building a really strong organizing infrastructure. And so, you know, for decades, the Organization for Black Struggle has been responding to police violence, police brutality, and has consistently organized people around these issues. And so when the situation now, like 2 months to the day of Mike Brown getting killed by police happened, because of that strong organizing culture, you saw people able to mobilize very quickly and to address the situation and to make it a national issue. So it's groups like the Organization for Black Struggle who really then worked to put together this Hands Up United organizing effort that Color of Change was able to, as a national organization, was able to then move our members to support some of the great organizing work that was being led by local leaders.
It's important important to me that you say that, because we keep hearing the, I guess, you know, rhetoric from some quarters of the St. Louis community saying that the protests are being led by outside, so-called outside agitators, you know. And, you know, what do you see when you're there on the ground in terms of local participation and local people being fired up?
Definitely. It's hard to imagine, you know, this, outside agitators is often a tactic that police use to discourage more people from getting involved in really important issues. But it's hard to imagine any effective social movement without so-called outside agitators. You know, we really should see it as we're in the age of participation. And, you know, millions of people around the country want to participate in addressing the national crisis of police violence.
Right.
And there are Fergusons all over the country. And in almost every city, discriminatory, abusive, and unconstitutional policing threaten people's lives and dignity, particularly for black and brown people. And so, you know, I think that this has really been a clear example of a community saying enough. And also cities around the country that Color of Change works with have also echoed that call that we actually need an end to the inhumane treatment that people receive by police.
Right. So I know that Hands Up United presented a petition with more than, I think, 900,000 signatures, maybe close to a million signatures to the Justice Department and the White House. What happened after that action? There was a protest that we mentioned a few weeks ago. You know?
Yeah. You mean Color of Change?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we see this as a national leaders are paying attention. They are looking for a way to make broader police reforms that weren't possible a couple years ago. So I think that what we saw with the nearly a million petition delivery to the White House was that it was really a recognition of this important moment and historic time that we're in. And that we actually have the leverage and the ability to make longer term strategic and broader national police reforms.
You know, we've been kind of discussing on this show kind of the links between police brutality, police militarization, and, for example, like poverty wages and being a part of the working poor and how you're treated by the police, you know, because you're poor, because you're a working person. And, you know, I know that you've started some businesses. You have a way of looking at economics in a collective fashion. Can you talk about any ways that you've seen that kind of manifest in the growing movement around Ferguson?
Sure. And, I mean, part of this is about community reinvestment, massive reinvestment in local community and local infrastructure and basic needs. And part of that, I mean, I think how to connect it in one way is to know that actually police are a public resource, and the community should have more control over that public resource. Similarly, you know, a lot of our, when you talk about healthcare, you talk about the work produced. Like, a lot of these things are public assets that are not controlled by the public. And I think the militarization of police is one example that's gotten so out of control, in that, you know, weapons are given to local communities, and the local police departments have to use them within a year or may have to give them back. So that's the opposite of local control and local say in our public resources. And I think that, that being able to assert more control of that would get us a long way toward the type of economic stability we need in communities, in order to have, in order to, like, address the massive power imbalance that people feel every day with police. If it were a situation where we actually controlled the budgets of police, that everyday people had more say in how those resources were being executed in communities, I think we would take a step in the direction of community control and community policing while addressing the other really deep economic issues and other issues that that create a culture of oppression that then allow police to abuse people.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you, Matt Nelson. I've been speaking with Matt. He's organizing director for Color of Change, and he'll be on the ground in Ferguson this weekend as part of the Hands Up United Coalition. Thank you, Matt, for your work and for joining me this morning. If you can stay on the line, you know, we can come back to you after the break. When we come back, it's your turn. So you can call 202-588-0893 to comment, but more urgent during our fund drive is for you to call 202-588-9739, you know, to pledge, or 1-800-222-9739, or pledge right online at WPFWFM.org. You know, why do you think this has become a movement and kind of developed from a moment for us? You know, what is going to happen this weekend? What gives you hope? You know, there are reports that law enforcement is mobilizing for the possibility that the grand jury will not indict. You know, how can we keep up the momentum? So 202-588-9739 is the pledge line, or pledge on the website. You would just go to the donate link and pull down the menu for the Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, and that's On the Ground. We have those two powerful movies we're playing excerpts from, Disrupt and Gasland 2. And, you know, we'll be right back with your calls.
A Canadian company called TransCanada wants to build the Keystone XL pipeline. The $13 billion system would carry crude oil from the so-called tar sands region in Alberta to Houston, Texas for refining.
The Keystone XL pipeline has become a huge focus of controversy. Tar sands oil is particularly dirty. It's particularly carbon intensive.
An estimated 2,000 environmental activists from across the continent plan to gather in Washington, D.C. to launch a two-week protest.
It has become a symbol to both sides in this debate, where the people who want further development of fossil fuels see getting Keystone through as core to their strategy, and on the other side, the climate activists see it as a symbolic fight that they have to win.
I'm here as a Nebraska citizen and landowner.
I am on the advisory board of the Center for Health and the Global Environment at Harvard Medical
School. I'm an evangelical Christian.
I'm a proud member of the Transport Workers Union of America.
You know what's so fascinating about this whole Keystone thing is that that was supposed to be a wedge, and instead it's been turned upside down. Now it's actually a base that is lining up constituency after constituency.
Today we act! Today we send a message to them and everybody else. We are taking back our futures!
Something extraordinary and unexpected has backfired out of the ambition of the fossil fuel companies. They've built a movement by mistake.
If you are gonna be risking arrest, you're gonna be lining up over here.
One of the tools that came into play was peaceful civil disobedience to show the moral urgency of these problems, that this was the crisis of our time. I saw a story in one of the trade publications, the oil industry, not long ago, and they said, we're never gonna get to build another pipeline in peace again. And I hope they're right.
as scientists, we study this out of this fascination and kind of awe of this whole system that we call home. We are on this planet that is so perfectly built to sustain life. We got so lucky. And then you begin to think, what do you do with this knowledge, this unbearable, incredibly depressing knowledge that the decision to burn fossil fuels was a decision that had tremendous downside risks that we didn't realize immediately?
You're listening to excerpts from the movie Disruption, which we're offering as a thank you gift to listeners during our fundraiser on the ground, the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment. We're offering that along with Gasland 2 from Josh Fox. And Katia is still with me in the studio, and we have some more people to thank.
We do indeed. Esther, we want to say thank you to Anonymous, who says great show. And, of course, every week a great show here on the on-the-ground edition of Community Watch and Comment. And you want to take the second? Can you see? I have my glasses. Let me see. Oh, Nam?
Yeah. You just don't want to say that because you're blushing over there.
Well, you are. You should be too.
Oh, Nam is calling from Arlington, and he says that Katia and Esther are literally the two best things that PFW has to offer. Glad to hear them on the air together. Go, he has such good taste.
I know, right? There you go. See, I shouldn't be so shy, right? I should be like, you got the right idea, Onam. And you can do as Onam did, not praise us, but call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. We are having lots of fun in here, and we are very positive about the feedback we've been getting and about the pledges of support that have been coming in. We are over halfway to your goal, Esther, only $240 to go.
Right, but I expected to do much more. I wanted those packs to fly out. You know, yeah. We're having these two movies, Disruption, that we've
been
playing.
Which are wonderful films,
you
yes.
know, and I did both for... you know, $89.30. So I expected those to be gone. So if you're riding your car, I'll give you a pass. Okay.
It's a measured response.
You're riding your car and you're waiting to get where you're going.
Right.
Okay. So when you get there, you go to the website, you pull down Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, you can still get them.
Absolutely.
But if you don't have any excuse like that, you need to be calling
202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 WPFW, your beacon of light as the struggle continues. We heard again from the gentleman from The Color of Change talking about the huge mobilization that is happening this weekend in Ferguson. And as you know, another gentleman shot overnight in Ferguson. So what we see here is that this is a pattern, and also organizing is a pattern. This is the other thing that WPFW, I think single-handedly, Esther, has brought to light, that there have been these movements in Ferguson, long-standing, 30-plus years already. This is not a new thing for them. You know, the protests are not a new thing. They have been struggling. They have been fighting and, to a certain extent, winning the fight. You know, and we have to remember that. And what we hear in the mainstream media is that outsiders have just been coming and starting trouble. I mean, that's kind of the soundbite that you hear, which is not the case. But if you listen to WPFW, you know better.
Right, absolutely. So 202-588-9739 is the number of the call. We have some more folks to thank. Clyde Kavanaugh, big WPFW supporter.
Yes.
Big supporter of On the Ground. Thank you so much. He says that Esther Ambrose Eileen Sr. would be very proud of you.
Indeed, he would.
What a tribute. Yes. Thank you so much, Clyde, because he, you know, he's been around. He knows
right.
He knows the story, so he knows what it's all about.
Yes.
And then Bridgette Roussan.
Yep.
I love her.
Yep.
Activist lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Just wonderful mom, you know, speaking truth to power.
A beacon of light in her own right.
Yes, as the struggle continues.
That's right.
And she would like to challenge all the residents of the Stronghold neighborhood.
Okay.
We'll all right.
Only $140 to go. Thanks to those two generous pledges. You can be in that number by calling 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. I know you have some folks on the line as well, Esther, that want to engage. But while you're waiting, you can always call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 to pledge your support.
Okay. We have one caller still with us. So, just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Judy. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Hi, Judy. Good morning.
Hi.
And I am a WPFW longtime member.
Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to make a quick comment, and that is, I don't understand why the people who are at the vanguard of the movement don't deal more with the economics. If the people in Ferguson stop spending their money mm-hmm. on anything that doesn't benefit them, they wouldn't have to get out in the street and demonstrate. They would have that. That is a power that they already have. They wouldn't have to ask the system to change, which is not going to do, or to do anything for them, which is not going to do. It's just going to provoke them to have more people hurt, more people kill. But if you stop spending your money, you bring them to their knees, because that is your power. They could go to a farmer's market, and they could truck in food. They could start opening up their own little stores. If people can come here from all over the world, can't speak the language, open up a business down the street from your house and make money, then surely you can at least set up markets and bring in food and what your community needs, and start empowering your community so that your money is staying in the community. And one other thing I'll say, and I'm through, if they started choosing those businesses that are that where the people in Ferguson spend the greatest part of their money, I'm sure those businesses are not just located in Ferguson. Everybody around the country could target that same business. Let's say if it's a Walmart, or if it's a Safeway or whatever, that business isn't just there. It's all over the country.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that call. And, you know, we have such great callers on you know, the show. And I enjoy talking to people every week, you know, even the people call all the time. You know, it's like, hey, you know, they're in the house, they're in the building.
They're family.
Exactly. And so we have another person to thank, Anonymous from Fort Washington, Maryland, another person loving On the Ground this morning. So I only have... I don't know. Is that right? Because it didn't change. But I only have $140. And so, like, you know, one person could call and make that contribution.
Get that Jazz and Justice pack.
Right. Exactly.
Get the Gasland pack. And yes. Then throw in the Amiri Baraka t-shirt, and you've got it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, again, I expect to do so much more. I expect 10 more people to call. You know, I only have about 12 more minutes, and I definitely want to make my goal. I want Katia to know, I want Miyuki to know, I want Michelle to know that people are supporting my show,
well,
and that I make my goal. So if you value On the Ground, this is really like a lot of hard work to bring the show every day. You know, at least when I was doing the show with Verna, you know, it was like another person there to do some of the work.
Yeah. No, but you know, I mean, we are joking about it, but Esther, you really do bring us quality programming. And you know, I will say you, I will say Parissa, this kind of like grassroots on the ground movement is just really wonderful. And it's from activists to activists. You know, I consider you to be an activist. And so that you bring that voice, that energy, that element here is just wonderful. And I know it's a lot of work for you to get all of that together every week and to get the gifts donated, which is also another whole thing in itself. But you believe in WPFW.
Absolutely.
You really do believe that we are this beacon of light. And we know that you, within the sound of my voice, believe the same, or you wouldn't be listening. That is the reality. So come on, help Esther exceed her goal.
Exactly.
We want these packages, the film packages, to run out the door. We want the Jazz and Justice package to run out the door. Another great way to support our Pacifica Radio archives, important voices, some from our community here at WPFW, some from the national community, and some from the global community, and both music and message all in one package. 202-588-9739.
Or 1-800-222-973 now. We also have we've been mentioning, but we haven't played any of it, is Gasland 2. Yes. And so this is the movie that came 3 years after Josh Fox released his Oscar-nominated documentary, Gasland. And so Gasland 2 also explores and exposes the dangers of fracking, short for hydraulic fracturing. This is a hazardous underground drilling process that uses massive amounts of water and toxic chemicals to release natural gas from shale rock. And because of fracking, communities across America have polluted air, land, and streams, as well as contaminated underground water sources. So contaminated, in fact, that you might remember some people could, like, set their tap water on fire. So we're going to play a clip from, I guess it's really a trailer, from Gasland 2.
My name is Josh Fox. It's been 5 years since the first proposal to drill thousands of gas wells came knocking at my door. And with thousands of cases of water contamination, air pollution, and health problems across the U.S., it's not just the numbers that get you dizzy.
This is where we eat, sleep, live. This is our home.
There's only one problem. The gas industry denied everything.
We have found no instance of hydraulic fracturing harming groundwater.
The war for who was going to tell this story was on.
They want a street fight out of us.
Never underestimate the power of money.
It's scary when your own government is afraid of a business.
People complain about the price of gas. Wait till you're paying twice that for water.
Dramatic evidence of what's happening to our world. And tonight we'll look at the impact already being felt.
The red flags about extreme weather we've all endured together all across the globe.
We are literally engaged in an unprecedented experiment with the one planet that we know of that can support life.
We will respond to the threat of climate change, knowing that the failure to do so would betray our children and future generations.
The big question mark is the future, of course, and a new kind of normal.
Things are gearing up for the UN-hosted climate change summit in New York. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon will host the summit.
I will convene a climate summit for leaders at the highest level. I urge political leaders of the world to prioritize their political energy on climate change.
We have to get serious about bringing real commitments to the table for that summit.
If things go business as usual, we will not live, we will die.
You're listening to excerpts from the movie Disruption, that which we're offering as a thank you to listeners on this morning, listeners of On the Ground, during our fall fundraiser here on WPFW. You can get that movie and Gasland 2 by Josh Fox. And we played a little bit of that trailer at the start of that last segment. You can get both for just $89.30 by going 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or pledge right online at WPFWFM.org. I am almost to my goal. Less than 100 to go now. And I expect to do a lot more, better. I want to go exceed my goal this morning. And, you can help me do that. Is Matt Nelson still on the line with us? Matt, are you still there?
Here.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you is about, because we talked earlier about kind of the economics and the police brutality and just how those issues are being linked. But have you also found that you are making the links with issues of environmental justice in Ferguson and communities, other communities?
I mean, these are, so the folks who are most impacted by police violence are also, I think, what a lot of people in the environmental justice spheres call frontline communities. And, you know, we work a lot in New York, and we saw the the devastation around Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, when that happened. And we saw the loss of infrastructure, the displacement of housing, and the particular impact that it had on public housing in New York City, and the slow response of NYCHA. And so this was definitely a product of our ongoing climate change crisis. But these were the same folks who, in the same time period, were dealing with stop and frisk, turn violent, targeting in the same public housing unit.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Matt Nelson. I hate to cut us off. We're running out of time today, but I thank you so much for joining me. He's Matt Nelson, organizing campaign director for Color of Change. And you can still support On the Ground. I almost made my goal, and I know I can make it if you go to the phones and call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or call Pledge Right online at WPFWFM.org. That'll do it for me today. Special thanks to our guests Matt Nelson and Richard Prince. Thank you for listening and calling and for pledging, which you can still do. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, like our Facebook and Twitter pages. And remember, today marks 2 months since Darren Wilson shot dead Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and still no arrest. Now stay tuned for Askia Muhammad with the news, followed by Krista Property on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. Peace.